I'm standing in the foyer of the building that's often known as the Donut on the outskirts of Cheltenham. It's the home of GCHQ, Britain's code-breaking intelligence agency. It's normally a fairly tricky place to get into, but it's just been hosting an unusual book launch, a biography of the mathematician Alan Turing, written by his nephew, Sir Dermot Turing.
There have been a large number of dramatisations and movies and stuff which have essentially, I think, enabled people to form their own mental images of Alan Turing. And I've been asking myself for quite a few years whether some of those images are strictly accurate. Let me give you an example. I think you can quite easily come up with a view that Alan Turing was some loner that sort of worked, you know, in some friendless environment on his own, and, you know, brilliant ideas just sprang into his head out of the ether. And, you know, is that actually true?
In front of me here in the foyer, I've got an original Enigma machine of the type that Alan Turing worked on and famously cracked in World War II. And I'm also joined by two current members of staff of GCHQ, Grace, who's a young mathematician, and Tony Comer, GCHQ's own historian. Grace, Alan Turing worked on a machine like this, Enigma. Now, you're a mathematician. In a way, you're one of Turing's heirs. How different is what you do to what he did?
I suppose, in essence, the work is exactly the same. It's a group of very motivated people working together to do hard maths, to using the technology we've got, which is moved on slightly from Enigma machines, to solve hard problems which matter.
Problem solving was what Turing seemed to love, wasn't it? It was the challenge of trying to break something and do something which other people thought impossible. Is that something you feel?
I think that's certainly something I feel. Being a mathematician, lots of people think it's just about getting to the right answer and learning proofs. But in fact, the reason that most mathematicians love maths is because you get something in front of you and you don't know how to solve it, and no one tells you the way to the answer, but you work it out. And that's what's really exciting about maths as a field. And I think that's what Turing loved, and that's why we do it today.
Tony Comer, you're the historian here. How much continuity is there between Alan Turing's world and the world around us here in what's called the Donut by some people?
You have to remember that Alan Turing really is somebody to whom everybody in GCHQ can look up. He's a mathematician, he's a cryptanalyst, he helped design machines like an engineer, he worked in information security. All of these are the different elements of GCHQ, so everybody can feel that he was working in the same sort of environment that they're working in.
Well, what do you think Alan Turing would have made of having a book launch and having the BBC inside a code-breaking headquarters? It's not quite the secrecy he was used to in the war at Bletchley Park, is it?
No, and it's not really the kind of secrecy that I've been used to throughout my career here. I would think that he would have thought about it and would have probably come to the conclusion that actually it was quite a good idea.
You think so? Times have changed.
Times have changed a lot, but we have to change with them.
So with this launch for the book, Alan Turing Decoded, now finished, the codebreakers here are going back to work, and it's time for us to leave the building.